but the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.
Alrighty. Any questions?
No.
Told you, be quick. Any answers? Be quicker. All right, so we get to talk. Okay, my first question. I think this is, well, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity to come together and just worship you. We just pray that you would continue to meet us here and draw us to yourself, Lord. Just thank you for the testimony of Richard, Lord, and the work that you've done in his life. Just ask for you to continue to show yourself strong on behalf. And I do pray for Lorraine and Becky, Lord, that you would comfort them and give them your grace and mercy and touch them. And even heal them, Lord. And for this baby, 7 months old, Lord, we know you love her. We know you love the family. So Lord, we ask that you just be strong on their behalf. Whether it's through your hands or a doctor yielded to you, or that you would just touch and heal. Give them wisdom. And we know that the fear of the Lord is the gain of wisdom because we can help them to walk in that as well. And for us as well too. Just pray that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, we don't want to come here to gain knowledge. We want to see Jesus. So pray that you would just reveal yourself to us in these tough verses. And that you would be glorified. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Alright. So, rich man, Lazarus. Everybody knows the story? Does the story bother anybody? Does it give you any questions? Is this a live, real story? Two people died. One went to Abraham's bosom, one went to Hades. Is this a parable?
Gives his name, Lazarus.
Yeah, this is an argument for churches. They all argue about all this. But there's reasons behind it. As a believer, since you've been taught as a believer, to be absent from the body is to be
present with the Lord.
So these verses make you say, wait a minute.
Good point.
Does it make you ask the question? Do we see the Lord in this teaching? I mean, neither one of them went to be in the presence of the Lord, right? One went to Abraham's bosom. One went to Hades. Where's your doctrine come from? Why do you believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord?
Because
We have that here, but this isn't, like, so Jesus is talking about an actual death of two men. Why would this be different than our theology of 1 Corinthians that Paul tells us?
Pre-cross.
Okay. Pre-cross. Any other thoughts? Are there any other verses why this could be? Isn't Jesus the first fruits from the dead? Okay, so there's some things we need to like think about before we argue about it. And people start to bicker back and forth. And I know that there's, so in the church, and we've probably all been taught this, that before Jesus died, that Hades is broken up into, no, okay, let me back this up. Let me just say, this is what is believed. This is what the Jewish people believe. That hell is made up of two parts. Hades, and what we're learning is Abraham's bosom. Hades is made up of two parts, but in that gulf, in there is a gulf between the two sections. One's a not so nice place, and the other one seems a lot better. Right? So the belief is that when Jesus died, he went down and took captivity captive. And all those who died before Christ went with him, and then Abraham's bosom would be empty at this time, and at this point in time, to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And we all agree with that's kind of where the church has taught.
That's what I've been taught, and I can't make it my own.
Yay? Yay?
Yay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any answers. Like, but I do think that there's lessons that we can learn from this no matter what. So I'm not going to argue about whether or not, but I do know one thing, one that is loved by God is being comforted, and one who doesn't isn't.
And with the chasm that could be seen by the rich man to see Lazarus in the bosom, once Abraham's bosom is empty, then they're no longer able to see. Is that...
Where you're talking about a spiritual realms at that point in time, you know. So we don't get any answers in here. So I say these are some tough verses to come at, but I can tell you this, there's no sense arguing here. A lot of people want to talk about dispensations and God works this way here, he works this way here, he works this here, but we do know that he says I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, so how does that work?
Well, it doesn't specifically say that Lazarus is in Hades.
That says he's in Abraham's bosom. I'm just saying that that's a Jewish...
It does say that the rich man was.
Right.
Scott, if that's a Jewish teaching of unbelievers...
For Hades... Well, okay, so we all teach...
Is that Orthodox Jewish?
I believe, yes. That's the...
Okay, where did they get that from the Old Testament? How many times did David say, let my soul rest in Sheol?
I don't have the answer. That's why I said these are tough things. But I do think that there's lessons that we can learn from it. I have another question here. What got these people, what is said in verse 25? If you want to look at verse 25. I'm bringing up all the problem things, so hopefully we can not leave with questions and maybe have a couple thoughts, at least. Abraham, okay, so, I'm sorry, verse 24, he said then, then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Oh, I'm sorry. Here, Jesus said, Son, remember. Now here's my question. Does this answer explain how you get to Abraham's bosom and Hades? Because it's important. Because we don't really see a whole lot in here. Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things. Likewise, Lazarus evil things. But know this, he's comforted and you're tormented.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you didn't know the fullness of the word around this, you would think just by being rich and having the opportunity to be good to others would save you. And likewise, if you have a bad hand dealt to you, that means you're going to go to heaven.
If you have a bad life here, you get Jesus.
Yeah.
Or you get comforted. And if your life is less here, guess what? You're going to burn. Is that the message?
No, no.
I believe at that time, though, the human mindset was 180 degrees from that.
Right, and it's constantly...
You were rich, you were blessed.
Right, and so Jesus has been teaching them through your circumstances here right now, whether you're blessed or getting good or bad things doesn't determine that, but the world thinks that, oh, you had this wonderful, well, you won the lottery, God's blessing you, really?
Well, and the verse that says that to him so much is entrusted to... to be a good steward of that, bless others. So the rich man obviously had the means to bless, Lazarus, but chose not to.
Right. But it's kind of interesting because it makes you come away with this. Well, how did Lazarus go to Abraham? Because we're not told, are we? Other than the fact that it's just because he went to have an evil life, but that's why he got to go where he went. So, or at least I don't think that. I do believe there's an answer in here that tells us. But when we look at this, sometimes people say, see, I don't have to have faith, I just have to be a good person. Right?
Well,
I mean, that's kind of, go ahead.
Verses 29 to 31.
Go ahead.
The gospel here, I don't want to say.
What?
There's nothing to say in the gospel here. Why do we go to Hades or anything?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Is, but other than seeing that, it makes it feel like that. To me, when I was reading, I was like, well, that can't be right.
Well, verse 39 or 29 to 31 make it clear that the rich man did not hear Moses and the prophets, so he was not a believer. So it wasn't that he was just rich; it was that he was rich and he was not a believer.
Which says his brothers would repent if they heard. So obviously, they repent.
Right. So I do think there is that answer, but I wanted to get that out there because some people can walk away thinking, well, you go get beat up on this earth and then you get to go to heaven later and get ministered to. And if you have a good life here, then you're in trouble later.
You like your dog like your sword if you go to heaven.
Yeah.
So backing up to how many baskets. Backing up to the beginning of chapter 16,
mm-hmm.
Following the, you know how Joe said there's always, it's one parable, even though it's broken down into three subtitles? Yes? No? He said establishing what was the theme of the parable to then look through.
Mm-hmm.
That
went. Right. So you're thinking that the whole chapter is a parable?
I'm
here.
Because the parable of the unjust steward, the law and the prophets in the kingdom, and the rich man and Lazarus. So I'm wondering, you know, does there need to be a for all of it? I don't have that.
But I was just thinking, you know, the rich man is saying all this after he's dead. I mean, am I just stating the obvious? Or, I mean, he's dead and questioning, you know, how he can get closer to Abraham or to God. Or
he doesn't ask anything about that.
He's in agony.
Yeah.
But he didn't take, when he was alive, is when he had the chance to do the things for come to the Lord.
Right.
And now he wants to be saved. Well,
he
but it's a little late in the game.
His brother.
And then once his father, so he can't get the little bit of water on his tongue. He is that he's now thinking of his brothers and saying, send them.
Yeah, if he could have got a little water, he might not have cared if they went there.
Right.
They could be still.
Right. Send someone to them so that they'll, you know, now so that they'll change.
Right.
And they'll realize before they're dead. So it's kind of like, to me, I always thought of this whole thing as far as like people who want to, I always thought of it in a way like people who want to talk to the dead to get answers from the dead, like in a cult. I don't know why, but somehow, somewhere in my life, I must have brought this into it because it's like you can't, if you don't come. come to the Lord when you are alive to make that choice, it's too late. So, you know, people can't pray you out of hell. You know, it's a done deal at that point. You've got to come prior. That's kind of how I'm looking at that. Do you, does that make any sense?
Yep. But I think it's also funny how Jesus, who knows he's about to rise from the dead, neither will they be persuaded though I rise from the dead. He's got that kind of life.
And he has.
With the story, he used his name. He never used his name in parables. And of all the names he uses Lazarus, which he's going to raise from the dead, which they end up trying to kill.
That's right.
So, and already, I believe, has by this time. It's later right around in here, whether before or after. I think it was actually before the anniversary.
Yeah, I want to set it when you say it. There is parables. Jesus told me, even in this 16th chapter. But when it comes to this event, he spoke it. It's all in red letters in the King James Version. I use other versions, you know, of the Bible. But this particular story, he used an event of a man named Lazarus. He called him out. And he wants us to realize there are really people. This is a real story. I don't believe this was a parable because the name was mentioned. Now, he never mentioned a rich man's name. I think he had a reason for that. But it's the reality of a real Christ, a living Christ, a living blessed heaven, and a damn cursed hell. When I say that, it's the home of the doomed. They're placed outside of Christ because they rejected the love of Christ. And they have to come in Christ, and Christ places you in by you responding. He does the calling. We just receive. But because it's the reality of a life we live, and there are different kinds of people. If you think about it, there's the unbelievers, and they scorn God's word. They're even took him out of the work they can get out of society. But we still treasure him in our hearts. That's the difference. And it's a reality that there is a place, not King James says hell. But I know the New Translation, there are different ones that have a different word for the Old Testament word, Sheol and Hades or whatever. But it is reality, and there is a real heaven. There's all the departed spirits that went on to be with Jesus and living and reigning with Christ. They're waiting the resurrection when he brings them back, and we're going to be reunited. But the other ones are going to be raised for that one day at the end, where they're going to give an account, and then they'll confess him as Lord, but it'll be too late. But I do believe there's an actual event, and it's a real story. And if we take and try to take care of this down, we're going to hurt ourselves, Bob. We're going to lead people astray. And I think it's really reality. We need to see what it is.
I honestly, when I look at this parable or life story, is this a true event taking place right then and there, or it happened, or is it a parable? Doesn't matter. The same truths are there for each of us to walk in, to grow from. Because I don't think where they ended up and what's going on, whether it's a parable, there's always one principle for the parable, right?
Yeah.
If it's real life, we better take it serious. I think either way, as we look at it, if there's anything in here for us, it better be taken in serious. You know? So sometimes we can get into whether it's a parable. Guess what? It's real life. Because it does happen to people. We know to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And those who don't believe in him, depart from me, I never knew you. Maybe that's why there's no name there. Where Lazarus' name was there. I don't know. But I think there's lessons in the comments and statements, especially from Lazarus, that we can learn a lot from. How much did he say? Nothing. He was comforted. I think that's a good lesson. Let the Lord be your defense and run to him for comfort. And let everybody deal with it. I think that's a lesson we can all agree on that comes from here. Here's a question. If the rich man, well, what you believe is how you live, do we all agree with that?
So if he has no heart for someone sitting outside him with open sores and no food, do you think he has the heart of the Lord in his movement? Does he have compassion? We sang, the Lord is gracious and compassionate. Look, if you're walking by people that are hurting and you don't care, you might want to ask the Lord, you need to renew my heart. Because that could be me. There's plenty of scriptures throughout the taking care of those in need from the body of Christ. Even before Christ, I remember looking at believers in God, walking with the Lord, there has always been something out there to feed the poor. To take care of the need. Is that God's heart? Don't get me wrong, his most our greatest need is his most greatest concern. He took care of it for heaven, to be with him, to walk with him. And I don't even want to talk about heaven. Jesus wants you to walk with him today. He wants you to know him today. He doesn't want this statement later that you look back and say, oh my God, I should have talked to you when I had a chance.
The only thing that's surprising about this passage is that he doesn't end it with, he who has ears, let him hear.
The next chapter is really get ready for persecution.
Because that's really, because that's really what he's saying here. Is
yeah.
Have ears to hear now.
Right.
Yeah.
But they are true. So, like, hey, just look, the Lord wants to comfort us no matter what your circumstances. And if he's blessed you, he wants to work it out that that you see the needs in others that he can work through. Why? Is it just to give somebody food because they're hungry? Or give them a drink or to help them? Just to do it because you have the ability? No, it's the love of God. That wants to meet people where they are and show compassion and grace and mercy. So guess what? When you walk in it, that's Jesus working through you. And then people get to see Jesus. Jesus becomes alive when you walk in the compassion and mercy of the Lord. Is that true? Or not? Does Jesus want to make himself known? Or does he just walk by? These are things the Lord wants to do in our lives. We need to be people of compassion. And not too busy. Look, it's the reality of the scriptures. We need to slow down, settle our hearts before the Lord, and just rest in him and let him lead us. Right? And then what he wants to do, you walk in. If God shows you in Scripture that it's a good thing to feed the poor, why do you ask yourselves, Lord, is that your will? We have to be, it all has to be motivated by his love. Don't get me wrong, because we know that those who feed the poor and have not love are prophets and nothing. So just doing through the motions don't count, but resting and trusting the Lord. There's a man who's laying outside your street, hungry and open sores, and you walk by daily. There's a testimony in that that you have no compassion. Right? For this reason. So we see there's a general lack of care for others in this man, but we see in Lazarus that he just is in the Father's bosom being comforted, or Abraham's bosom being comforted. And I think that's what the Lord wants for each of us today. Whether you're in a place of being able to supply, that God blessed you with a way to met, or he put you in a place where you need to receive, that we would be open and sensitive to hear what the Lord wants to do. Because we want to make him known. Because I want to know. I want to see Jesus. And if I know Jesus is walking in certain things and I agree with him, which is called repentance, and you see someone and you actually are moved with compassion, it's not from you. It's a work that he's doing in you. Work. So,
Sorry.
I just know that, so
there are some things here that I'm not going to give you. I don't have answers, but I do know that we have an opportunity to seek the Lord. And the truth is we've all been blessed like this rich man. We're all clothed. We have food and coffee downstairs. We're all good. The question is in your walking by, the Lord's bringing you by people, is He moving your heart with compassion? His compassion. I can't answer that. I guess what? I sometimes and sometimes not. Sometimes I'm too busy, sometimes I'm there. Either way, the Lord's doing that work in you. When you see it, you should be thankful. Because you know it's the work He's doing in your life. You know, you want to see Jesus moving in your life. How do I change? Well, I started seeing more of Him come forth. And even the desire and care for the things that I know He cares about coming forth in my life. Look, the world's dying. Each and every one. We all just said we're all getting older. We're all falling apart. Guess what? 100 out of 100 people die.
Amen.
You just don't want to be part of the second death. We want to just rest in Him and seek Him. But let's look at some of the things that are said. Because this is really what struck me. Very important. Prayers from hell. Isn't it? Sort of. He's talking to God. I mean, he's talking to Abraham. That's sort of however all this, wouldn't we consider that prayer? Typically, isn't that what prayer is? So what's he said? Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Did he show mercy? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I mean, we have these scriptures in here, so you can see this guy's life is nothing matching up with a godly life, but he's been blessed. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool tongue, for I am tormented in this land. What do we learn from this verse about?
Natural that they're praying. Literally, they really are. That rich man, his name wasn't mentioned, but he thought about his brothers. He had to take care of his family. Listen, think about that. And then he asked, but he didn't go to God. He said, Father Abraham, in the Jewish, back then they realized about Abraham, he was a man of honor of God, but yet he didn't cry out to God. And he said, he prayed to Abraham to send him to my father's, lest they come here with me. Now, I don't want him to come here. He realized the reality of where he was at. It was too late. But he had a prayer meeting, and he prayed.
Or does
prayer is only talking to God.
Right.
Hey, a lot of times I think about the word pray, and it's been so religiously used, and God does say in all things by prayer. But it's, think about it. Prayer is just saying, approaching God. It's like, and I'm not taking this out of in not a respectful way, just good morning to the Lord. I mean, I say good morning every day, but I come to the Lord. I say, Lord, thank you. You know, we come to Him with whatever we have a need of. So we talk to Him, and that's what He was doing. He was praying. But it was too late. And the Lord allowed it to be shown that this guy was crying out to Abraham. And he wanted somebody to go to him. But you know what? There's no mercy when you reject mercy. Once you die, there's no mercy apart from if you leave this world unprepared. And that's why he's wanting them to realize that. Make your peace with me now. Trust me. And that Pharaoh was in a good position. He didn't have a lot, but he looked to God. And he was looking for a little bit of crumbs. He wasn't asking for a lot. And that rich man it doesn't even say that he gave him part of his food. He's just letting him get on the floor like dogs would lick little crumbs. You know, it's the reality.
So,
go ahead.
I was going to say, in a way, it's offensive that the rich man says to Abraham, send Lazarus. You know, it's like the master. He's still in that master. Rich man, I don't mean to be, but sending, you know, send Lazarus to my brothers to tell them to repent. The way I just think, like, why couldn't he say, can I go? Do you know, he's still, send Lazarus, you know, he's the one resting comfortably.
And kind of sounds like the people of Israel saying, you send Moses up there and then let him
See, there's no direct connection with God.
Yes.
There's this. That's the point. There is no connection with God. And then what is he seeking? Is he seeking to get out of Hades? Let me look at what he reads. Uzzi asks, can you save me from this place? Now, can you give me a little quencher while I'm being tormented? Look, people that have no desire for God will cry out for help, but they don't want nothing to do with him. Can you help me through my torment? Ever prayed that way?
Yeah, sure.
He wants to be your help. He wants to be your all in all. So we need to be careful. People, one of the lessons we learn from when people look or looking back, they realize we can learn from him as we can learn from those we can grow and not go through the same things, right? This person never came to a point where they realized they needed comforted. They just needed the fire quenched. And so many people come to the Lord not for comfort, just to get the fires of hell quenched. And they're asking for blessings and these little things just to get them by for the moment when he wants to take care of them for eternity. I think it's beautiful. We have to be careful. But that's one of the things when people aren't saved, they're looking for a blessing or just something to pull them out of the torment for a minute. Or actually, they're not asking to get out of the torment. They're asking them to be comfortable in the torment. That's what he's asking for. Can you put some water on my tongue so I can become comforted in my torment? I'm like, can you take me from torment? Or how about I just run to be comforted? We're encouraged all the time to boldly come before his throne of grace that we might attain mercy and grace in time of need. When do you need it?
All the time.
Especially when you don't realize it. I'm sorry?
24/7.
Right. So we need to be comforted. And guess what? Who's doing all the talking for Lazarus? Lazarus isn't in the conversation. But guess what? Don't you hear the world say, if you were really a Christian, you would go give that person water to drink so that they wouldn't be so tortured. See, they don't understand the grace and mercy of God. God wants to be their all in all. Yes, he uses us as hands and feet. But guess what? The world sees that we're not walking. Yes, sir?
I think what's comforting for me is this rich man only saw Lazarus laying in the gate in front of his house. But when he sees him this time, he must be in a different condition because he says, have to go to my brothers. So he's not in the same condition he was in when he was laying at the gate. He's in good shape.
Yeah. But I think it's also, we do have misconceptions, the wrong use of God. As you know, if they're not trained by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And I think it's interesting that that the rich man has this conception that he doesn't know God, so he thinks, hey, send somebody or do something. He's just that people can move between spirit worlds. He's confused because he doesn't know God, like you said. He doesn't accept the mercy of God, but he wants little alleviations to torment. But he doesn't want the full mercy of God.
Look, it's the truth for us a lot of times. We don't want all of Jesus. We just want to have a situation. Remember, we're met in a situation. We got to be careful with that. Yes, sir.
I think what you're touching on, you mentioned a few minutes ago that the unbeliever doesn't want God. They just want what God can give them with the benefits of God. But I would say that's the same inside the church as well as outside the church. And that, you know, God calls. I mean, look at the Israelites. They didn't want to speak to God directly. So, come on, Moses, we need you to speak for us, right? We're afraid. And so it's all about what are we doing? What are we putting between us and God versus going directly to Him? And you know, all these cult deviated faiths where they want to put someone in front, a priest or a whatever, fill in blank. All those things are things that are abhorrent to what God wants us to do. Yes, sir.
You know, I want to say something, make sure I correct myself. Because I think I said sin of Abraham. No, sin Lazarus, she's right. And he said he remembered Lazarus. So he had his memory. And when you go outside of here without Christ, you're not going to lose your memory. Now, it seems like it because the body ceases. But that eternal spirit, God has made you with 11 souls in his own image. You still have your faculties. He could see and think. He had his eyes open there. That's another thing he said. Because his eyes were open to the fact that, he sees where he's at, and then he has a concern for his brothers. He prayed to send Lazarus. Say,
yeah. Send us up on the back.
It was too late, though.
Any other thoughts? This is a true story. Like, reality. This is really a story about Lazarus and Richmond Dam. It's very sobering to realize those who never repent. What's the story of that? Which should move you with compassion for the lost?
Well, it's also, you know, we just passed Easter. And what do we see there? We see in the garden where Jesus says, "Who do you see?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, "I am." And they all fall to the ground, but they still get back up again, and they still arrest him, and they still take the trial, etc. And so, even in light of all those things, they're still obstinate. They still have no, they have no, say again?
Humility. Notice Mary noticed it was Jesus when he called her by name. Person. That's when she reckoned, she thought he was a gardener and turned, that's my Jesus. I heard him call my name. It was sensitive. That's after the resurrection. So,
the point though is that people will stay and remain stiff-necked. They'll stay obstinate straight into hell.
Yep.
They will still stay in the same condition they were here. But for God touching their heart.
No one can come to them unless he draws, which I believe he's drawing and people choose not to come. But they make that decision, right? Sometimes it can be hardening, and it's crazy walking.
It's crazy walking.
So we do see that even this man who has a love for his family and all, and knows they're going to hell too. Maybe. And I think that a lot of times at funerals and things, people are open to these things. Like, okay, if this is real, then we need somebody to go tell the people I love. So, like, everybody goes to heaven at funerals. Look, everybody at one point will stand before God. Might be for a moment, might be for eternity, but everybody will kneel. Right?
Yeah.
And if they haven't kneeled here, at some point they're going to kneel before them. Wouldn't that torment you? You knew the truth all along and you never... For eternity. At least that's what this is saying. If it's real, if it's a parable, I don't know. I believe where it says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is me?
Well, he still didn't come to the full knowledge of the truth, otherwise he'd be calling God, not Abraham.
And he never came to ask for himself. But he did have a realize, maybe he understood it was done for because of the great gulf, but he still had a desire to see his family, save his brothers. And then we talk about death.
The thing about hell, where it says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, in the book of Revelation, they're cast alive into the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus was crucified, they were gnashing their teeth at him.
Yes.
They said, "Crucify him." They mocked him. They scorned him. And it says that they were gnashing their teeth. So I kind of almost draw this conclusion that in hell, they're not going to be uptight to thee. They're still hating. They hate him and they're cussing him out, gnashing their teeth at him in the flame.
Well, in Revelation, when the stones are falling down on them, they say, "Kill us."
Yes.
See, I don't think people are going to want to change their mind in how they chose to go there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't disagree at all.
You have to fight the Lord your whole life to go to hell.
Yeah.
And He don't give up.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in hell because you want to be there, but you hate it. It's true.
There is one other thing, though, that I think this is a lesson.
Put that on your bumper sticker,
yeah.
No, I would do
that. I suggest, though, this. Consider this man's faults for all of us, even today, as we're seeking the Lord. And you're going through your trials and your struggles. How do I go through day by day? I'm like Lazarus. I run to Abraham's bosom. I run into the presence of the Lord. I come to the Lord to be comforted. What did Jesus say when He came in Palm Sunday? Oh, how I wanted to gather you together like a mother hen. That's His desire for you. Do you believe it? Do you understand He's calling you into fellowship with Himself? He wants to reveal Himself to you so that you can see His love, to see His grace and mercy.
He's not calling us to talk to Abraham.
No, we don't see Lazarus speaking at all.
He's calling us to talk to the Son.
Abraham is His defense. Right? There's a lot of lessons, but we have to be careful that while we're on this earth struggling, that we don't reach out and cry out for a tip of water to get me through my torture. That we might change our motivation in our hearts to say, give me Jesus. Because in Christ, all these things take place. I would much rather suffer for eternity. What's Paul saying? These momentary light afflictions are outweighed by the glory. The things he couldn't even talk about. And so I think there are lessons that we can learn. And look, if it was real, Jesus was right. Right? Jesus said at the end here, but He said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither they will be persuaded that one rise from the dead. If this is a true story, we have a story about Lazarus. He was raised from the dead. What did they want to do to Him?
Jesus Himself.
Right, but we have Lazarus raised from the dead. That's why I just put it out there. In chapter 12 of John, it says they sought to kill Him. The brother wanted Him back so they could be saved, and you have a man being sent back from the dead, and they wanted to kill Him. Jesus was right. Even if one's raised from the dead, they will. Is your heart set on Him? He'll keep fighting you and fighting you all along the way. Continue to bless you and give you the things because He's blessing. I'd hate to have everything this world has to offer and at the end not have Jesus. But it'd be so sweet not to have anything but Jesus. And at the end, I get you. Where He comforts, you're in His bosom, in His heart. Where He's comforting you, holding you. And hey, when you're striving and you're struggling and there's junk going on in your life, just run to Jesus. Go to that throne room. Remember I said last week, anybody here ever have a party? I might not ask you guys. Everybody have a party, they spend all week long to clean it up. Tell everybody, when you get here, just come on the door, it's open. And you choose to go away. And not be there. Would you do that?
I might be a shower.
That's why I said I might not have answered this question. But seriously, do you invite people over, open your door up to them, and not be there? We got the Creator of the universe who loves you with an everlasting love that says, come. My house has been prepared for you. I made the way. I've taken every ounce of precaution to take care of the inner and open up the door for you. To clean this house up. There's no sin, no sorrow. Is He there? I think many times we get in there. He said to come. Is it a good time? Or are you going in now and He's there?
that he wants to speak to you, that he wants to minister to you, he wants you to worship him, and just draw everything from him, just like Lazarus. Look, guess what? You have to die for a new life. And this is what the new life looks like, being in the presence and comfort of the Lord. So that's what it is. I mean, whether it's a true story or whether it's not, there's principles we can learn from that we need Jesus. And we need Jesus to do a work in our lives, so we have compassion on those who are lost. Because they don't need to see someone raised from the dead. They need to see Jesus living his life through you. Or around you. Or some way that they can see a living Christ, not one raised from the dead. Or one that we talk about raised from the dead. But Jesus living and moving in through your life and enjoying the love that you have for him and let it spread. That's how you touch people's tongues. You don't just touch them for a moment, you touch them for a life. Gary?
Another version, the Net Bible, actually, I like the way it says it. It says in verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets. They must respond to them. And then verse 31, it says, he replied to them, or to him, if they do not respond to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. I think it's really interesting, because how many people you know that don't seem to respond at all to the gospel? They don't respect it. They don't respond. They have ears, but they don't hear.
All your friends rejoice when you say, guess what? Last night, oh my God, Jesus is awesome. And they're like, let's go. Get away from him. We don't want him. It's the same action, isn't it? That they did to Lazarus. It's like, what can we do to get rid of this dude?
Well, or it's like us. You know, you hear the gospel 100 times, and then one day, all of a sudden, it clicks and you respond. But you choose. You choose to respond.
But, I mean, think about when he says, I don't think there's a specific word when it says, they need to hear Moses and the prophets. There's not a verse, okay, they came together and they said this and they should have heard that. It's the life of Moses and the words that came forth and the life of the prophets throughout that are always pointing to a loving God, a God that's gracious. Exodus 34:6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Long suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. He's always passing by, revealing that, and saying, these are things. And we need to go by and pass these by and continue to show the world around us that, hey, we love a loving, long suffering, gracious, merciful God, abounding in goodness and truth. Is that true? And why are we so miserable half the time? Why are you so
unbelieving believers?
Exactly. So we need to be
humble. We believe, Lord, help our
hearts. Right. I mean, I'm not right. That's the truth. And help us to have compassion, Lord. The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. Do you see that in your life? Because that's what the Lord wants to live through you. If we will hear what the prophets say, and Moses, and Jesus. See, we still have to listen to the same things and by faith walk it out. Maybe it's not a heaven and hell issue, but I can tell you right now, if you're living on this earth as a believer and just looking for blessings from God and not looking for God himself, you are in your own hell right now. You're going to be miserable, beat down, and frustrated, and tormented if you keep looking for blessings and rather come to Jesus. That I know, because I do it to myself too often. Cares, worries, frustrations, hurts, pain. I don't want just a tip of his finger touching me. I want him to grab a hold of me and take my life and yield it to him. That's what the prophets and the Moses spoke, wasn't it? Really, when you look down to it, yield. Give your life to Jesus. Let the Lord meet you. I mean, they walked every day. He covered them in the clouds by day. So so they didn't get sunburned. And then if they were cold, went cold at night, it was a pillar of fire. Oh, by the way, when you wake up in the morning, there's food on the table. Just be good. I want to feed you. I want to clothe you. I want to keep you warm. I want to take every part of you. Were they content? No. But he did it for 40 years. That's gracious. That's long-suffering. That's goodness mixed with truth. Yes, sir.
You know how I look about 1 Corinthians 13? It says, love keeps no records of wrong.
I listened to a guy the other day who's listening to
it. He is law. God is law.
You don't.
God is the person.
Yes. It's a relationship. We dive in, and that's what he's encouraging.
When he sees that it's holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight.
Right. Exactly. And don't stand and let that gulf stay between you. He's asked you to enter in. He says, come. Don't sit aside. Don't seek temporary fixes for problems to keep you in the same situation. Cry out to him. Have him take you to a better place to himself. Yes, you might still strive. Yes, you might still struggle. But you have the author of life meeting you there and ministering to you and revealing himself to you. Isn't that better?
Verse 15, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And so, encompassing all that, we have a choice every day. Are we going to continue to press into the things of the Lord, or what the world clamors to say is what success, happiness, focus, that it's all about.
And I'm not speaking works, I'm not speaking law. I'm just asking that you realize that why do I want to torment myself? To keep myself in a place of torment and just get these momentary little touches when he has so much more. So much more. Alright, I thought it was going to be quick. Thank you. I hope it wasn't too confusing. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that many times we're like your disciples when they walked with you, that they just don't understand. But Lord, we know that there's things we do now, and we can trust them, walk in faith, believing, Lord, that you are good. As we said earlier, Lord, we do believe, but Father, help our unbelief. Help us to by faith enter in more and more daily, resting in you. And allow you to live your life through us.